So I want to be sure that you guys walk away tonight and you hear the scriptures, you hear the word of God. I want to make sure that you don't walk away thinking you just know me better. You know who Nathan is. So I want to be sure that we start in the scriptures. So again, if you have your Bible, read with me. We're going to start in Ephesians 5. You guys follow along. I'm going to start in verse 8. For at one time you were in darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of the light, for the fruit of light is found in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. And try to discern what is pleasing to the Lord. Take no part in the unfruitful works of darkness, but instead expose them. For it is shameful even to speak of the things that they do in secret. But when anything is exposed by the light, it becomes visible, for anything that becomes visible is light. Therefore it says, and hear this, awake, O sleeper, and arise from the dead, and the light of Christ will shine on you. Look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, making the best use of the time, because the days are evil. Therefore do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but instead be filled with the Holy Spirit, addressing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody to the Lord with your heart, giving thanks always and for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ. Let's pray, guys. God, I thank you for this opportunity to come and to share with these gentlemen tonight, Lord. It stands true. I pray that what they would hear is not my words, Lord, but yours. I ask for your Holy Spirit to come and to be present here. You tell us in your word that where two or more gathered in your name, you are here. You are present. And so, God, again, I ask that what is heard tonight comes straight from Scripture. Lord, that your Holy Spirit would work in these men's lives. That even if I stand up here and make a fool of myself, Lord, that you ultimately will be glorified. We thank you for your providence, for your sovereign grace. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, so tonight I'm going to give you guys a little bit of my story, a little bit of my testimony. I want to start out with a favorite quote of mine, and it comes from my morning devotion called New Morning Mercies by Paul David Tripp. And it says, "The man who is comfortable in his own righteousness or goodness has not truly understood grace. And the man who is unimpressed by God's grace has not truly understood his sin." So I think of, you know, my conversion story and my testimony, if you will, as more of a journey than an actual statement. My life, in fact, has been just that, the story of a sojourner, a traveler, prone to wonder, like we just sang, pursued and ultimately drawn to a saving faith by the tireless work of a gracious God. It's the story of a young boy who was raised by missionaries in a third world country, a boy raised to know and to name every Bible character you can think of. I was even taught to memorize Psalm 23 before going to bed at night. And I was ultimately convinced to understand, love, and profess a passionate faith in the one true and living God. Yet, it is also the story of a young man who, having been lured out into the world by the selfish and ultimately sinful desire of his own heart, was soon shown to be living a life of hypocrisy. A life that on one side professed and indeed believed in this one true living God, while on the other pursued every sinful pleasure that my heart desired. And so my childhood faith soon became this simple and sad motion, a melancholy and stagnant pattern of pretending. And this sort of pretending went on for years. You see, I was convinced that real life was just this unstable balance between living the daily Christian life and just falling again and again and again into sin. And this pattern of behavior then, it started to become normal and acceptable. I thought, that's just how it is. That's what the Christian life is. And repentance became nothing more but a continuation of this pattern, insincere apology after insincere apology for sins unforgiven. And it's here, gentlemen, that I learned to live a dangerous lie. And it was a lie that was carefully woven so as to keep me trapped and keep me comfortable in my own hypocrisy. I'm reminded of a verse in John 8:34 that says, it is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh is of no help at all. And I can say that that was definitely true of my life. You see, I had entered into this cycle pretending by my own hand, and I was completely helpless to get myself back out. And so, As a young man now entering college, I began to live a life that led me into countless experiments with drug use on one hand, and also a firm commitment to the local church on the other. A life that led me into multiple sexual encounters and also into the leadership of a college Bible study. It was a life that led me into a perpetual numbness that even the strongest bourbon couldn't fix. And yet, finally, it was a life that led me through the doors of the local college chapel and into Reformed University Fellowship. You see, again, I was helpless in my situation. I got myself into this situation, and I could not get myself out. Thanks be to God that my story doesn't end there. Now, I was fortunate enough to enter into Reformed University Fellowship by way of two seniors at Birmingham Southern College, where I went to school. They were Brian Jackson and Sam Brott. They were teammates on my football team and also good friends of mine. And for some reason, they decided to take an interest in my life as a young and confused freshman. And it's here where the process of my transformation of grace started to happen. And though I didn't realize it at the time, you see, God was using my double-sided life to move me further towards a breaking point. Still, this was a process of years, years and years of breaking down those false barriers and that false hope that I'd created and established my life on. And so for the length of my college years, I continued to swing back and forth between this pendulum of hypocrisy. Resting on my ability to manipulate, to make people see what I wanted them to see the person that I had created and the face that I could show to everyone else, resting on that ability to manipulate, I found a home in many circles. I learned to wear many masks and craft many different faces. Now, I'm not going to stand up here and assume what your story is. I don't know your story. But I have to guess that there's something familiar about this. That there's something familiar about getting yourself into a situation that you're helpless to get out of. That was me, and that was my story. And thanks be to God that it doesn't end there. And this life continued on as I managed a healthy academic life somehow. I played NCAA football. I rose to leadership in Reformed University Fellowship. I attended church weekly, and I excelled even in the school's honors program, all while continuing my heavy experimentation with drugs and alcohol. And I tried a lot of things. You see, I was still under this impression that my life was just about going through and checking off the boxes. And so in the week, I could say, yeah, I went to youth group, or yeah, I went to church Bible study, and I could check that box off. Then when the weekend came around, it's like I punched my clock, I'm out. It's time to go have a bourbon. It's time to go have a drink. It's time to go light up a joint. That was my life. And I thought that was normal. I thought that was acceptable. I thought that was just part of it, that was just part of the Christian life. And yeah, when Sunday would roll around and I'd be sitting in church, yeah, I'd ask forgiveness for my sins. And yeah, I thought I meant it. I was convinced that this was the Christian life. Upon exiting college, my habits, drug use and drinking on the weekend, though maybe it lessened in how often I did it, how intense I went to those things, it became no less dangerous. But God's gracious hands continued to shape my life, even amidst my rebellion and my deceit. He faithfully led me into a dating relationship with a strong-willed, yet kind and God-fearing woman. And let me tell you, gentlemen, never underestimate the power of a God-fearing woman. She will change your life. He also led me into a healthy and wonderfully challenging job, into the position even of director of college ministries for a local PCA church. And slowly but surely, the concrete around my heart started to break free, and the truth of my hypocrisy began to show. I'm gonna choose to share a story tonight that I haven't told really anybody else, and I'm not proud of it. But as I was set to become a member of this very PCA church that I ended up working for, well, I was standing up in front of about 200 to 300 members, reciting the membership vows, professing my Christian faith in front of all these people, and the night before I had gone out drinking. And I was hungover in church, standing in front of 200 to 300 people, professing my Christian beliefs and accepting the vows for membership in front of the entire church. And I was okay with that. Somehow, I was okay with that. I could barely keep my eyes open. God soon began to place a restlessness in my heart that I couldn't shake. And over time, my wonderful job began to sour. My work with the college ministry started to fail. Everything I tried went wrong. And something had to give. The satisfaction of personal success, it started to dim against this agitation in my soul that I could not name and that I could not shake, that I could not get rid of. So what do we do in situations when we find ourselves where we don't want to be? Well, we think of a way out. We think of some way to fix this restlessness, to get rid of it, to get out of this situation. So I began thinking of a way out. Change. That was it. That was my way out. I was convinced that my life needed a change. And this, I thought, was to come in the form of international missions. It made sense, right? And you guys heard me talk at the last meeting about Honduras, about how I grew up in South America. That was familiar to me. And so I thought, you know what, that's my escape. That's how I get out of this. That's how I fix this problem, fix this restlessness. It wasn't an issue with drinking, right? It wasn't an issue with smoking joints on the weekend. It was, oh, I just need to change. I got to get out of here. I need something new. I need some new scenery. Growing up as a missionary, see, I had long known that Latin America would always feel like home, that I could always go back there. And so I knew, or believed I knew, that my life trajectory would someday end me up back on the shores of the mission field. And so I began an application for long-term missions work with SAM, a South America mission. I sped through the application process with new excitement and new gusto, excited that I had finally found my way out. I had found that change that I was looking for. All this until I reached the part of the application that asked me to answer some very basic theological questions and defend my Christian faith. And I was immediately struck with fear. You see, I had no idea how to answer these questions. I had no clue how to write my faith out on a piece of paper and actually defend it when somebody asked me what I believed. I couldn't put it down on paper. And the shadows around my heart, they seemed to part for just a moment, light reaching in as I realized that I did not know this God I professed to love. Hear that. I did not know this God that I professed to love. Now, I would like to believe that at this moment, the heavens opened up with the light of God shining in, the sun came blaring through the windows, and angels came out proceeding in song, echoing the radiance of a life returning to Christ. The prodigal son had come home. But that's not what happened. Instead, it was with a deep and quiet sadness that I realized that I had been deceived and that I had lived as a deceiver. Now, don't get me wrong, guys. I don't doubt that heaven celebrates that kind of return. I don't doubt that the angels raise up in song when a life returns to Christ. But what I felt instead was the utterly tender embrace of a father and a gentle reminder of his grace and mercy that had called my name, that had sought me out and had pulled me up from the darkness. I realized my helplessness. I realized that I had no power within myself to pull myself up out of this situation. My eyes were open to the realization that I was living with one foot in the world and one foot in the kingdom, one foot in darkness and one foot in the light. I looked down and I saw the dirt on my hands. My eyes were finally open to it. And I realized the result of my sin and my hypocrisy, that which had made me blind and absolutely numb to the truth. And in this moment, I was given a choice. This is an important point that I want to make, guys. I was given a choice. You see, I had no power. If you hear anything from my story, hear this. I had no power to bring myself up out of the darkness. But when I was brought out, when I could see the dirt on my hands, when I could see the result of my sin, I was given a choice. And my choice was to either remain there, sick, restless, with my soul just in agitation, or I could choose the light. You see, John 8:34, the verse, just a couple of verses over, states that everyone who practices sin is a slave to sin. Man, was that true for me. I was absolutely a slave to my sin. Now, what followed this moment of transformation was indeed a change, but it wasn't the change that I was expecting. And through the close mentorship of Reverend John Albano, an opportunity arose to move here to Albany, Georgia, and accept the position of pastoral intern at a small PCA church. I had a choice, gentlemen. And let me tell you this, too. I had a lot of other options on the table as well. So including the opportunity to do long-term missions work, I had two other job offers on the table. You see, at that job that I was working at in January, this was now May, they had given me a promotion. They had promised me a pay raise of over $10,000 a year, and they promised me the position of director of sales for all of Central America. On top of that, I had a job offer from Myanmar in Atlanta that offered me the same thing, director and head sales rep for all of Central America at a pay of about $60,000 to $70,000 a year. I had a choice. I could choose to serve myself. I could choose the money. This was one of those take the money and run situations. And believe me, I had to think about it. I had to think about it because I had known this pattern for my whole life. You know, I thought I could, yeah, I can go to Atlanta, I can do this job, I can handle it. I can handle it. I've handled it my whole life. I've gone to church. I've done all the right things. And yet at the same time, that reminder crept up that every weekend I was lighting up. Every weekend I was going to that bottle. I had a choice. Obviously, the choice was made. And here I stand. By the grace of God, here I stand. And it's here that I found a new joy in the pursuit of a life of light. It's here that I've chosen to love, to serve, to study, and to truly know the God who has orchestrated my redemption. Again, I don't want to assume I know anything about your story, but there has to be something familiar about this. There has to be something familiar about this. If anything, guys, I want to encourage you to think back on how you ended up here. Think about why you're sitting in this seat right now. What steps, what things in your life brought you to this moment that you would end up here, hearing this? You know, I heard a story a couple weekends ago. A guy was preaching. He said his professor from seminary used to come when he was preaching, and he would sit in front with a big sign, big bold letters that said, "So what?" And so I want to be sure that you guys hear the "so what" tonight. And the "so what" is this. Guys, we all stand on equal ground. We are all sinners in the sight of God. I don't stand up here as some example, as some big transformation, as an example. If anything, guys, my story should show you that I don't deserve to be up here at all. And that's the truth of it. The truth is that we are all sinners, for all have fallen short of the glory of God. And yet, God's grace extends even to that. His hand, you see, it wasn't me taking my hand and reaching up to God. It wasn't me reaching up through the heavens trying to get to God. No, I was comfortable in my own little circle, checking off my boxes, thinking that I was living the right way. It was God instead who reached down into the filth, into the darkness, and yanked me up to where I could finally see where I was, where I had been. And then I had a choice. Again, I don't know why you're here, guys, but there is a reason for it. Whatever comes next, whatever choice you have to make, remember your story. Remember how you ended up here. Remember God's grace that extended through the darkness in your life to pull you up to a realization that that's not how to live. That's not how to live. You know, today I still find myself amidst this process of transformation. Don't get me wrong, guys. It's a daily thing. It's an absolutely daily transformation that happens. And I'm going to quote one of my favorite songs that we just sung. It says, "Oh, to grace, how great a debtor daily I'm constrained to be. God's work is not yet finished, and he leaves no thing unfinished." Wherever you are right now, take encouragement in that. God leaves no thing unfinished. Grace upon grace will be the song of my life. Hear these words again, gentlemen. "For at one time you were in darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of the light. For the fruit of light is found in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. Therefore it says," and don't miss this, guys, "therefore it says, awake, O sleeper, and arise from the dead, and the light of Christ will shine on you." This is a celebration. This is joyful. As I was writing this about 2 weeks ago, I couldn't get through it without tears pouring out of my eyes. This is something to celebrate. Your life is something to celebrate. The reason you're here is something to celebrate, guys. "For you are once in darkness, but now you are light in the Lord." And what choice do we have? Walk as children of the light. "Therefore it says, awake, O sleeper, and arise from the dead, and the light of Christ will shine on you." Let's pray. Giver of all graces, we look to you to maintain that grace in us, for it is so hard to practice what we believe. God, we ask you to strengthen us against temptation, for our hearts are unexhausted fountains of sin, rivers of corruption since our earliest days. Flowing out in all patterns of behavior, you alone, O God, can hold back our evil ways. And without your grace to uphold us, we will surely fall. Keep us aware of our weakness and dependence upon you for strength. Let every trial teach us more of your holiness, peace, and love. Holy Spirit, we cannot grow or persevere in grace unless you work continually in us. Teach us to walk in humble dependence upon you. And may Jesus Christ be exalted in our minds and our hearts. Let us see him in all his glory, worshipped by angels, adored by those he has redeemed, and make us deeply grateful that the mighty Prince of Peace has loved and rescued us. God, I pray for the men in this room. Lord, I don't know what their story is, Lord, but you have brought them to this point for a reason. You have brought them here tonight for a reason. Again, Lord, I pray that what they have heard tonight be not my words, but that they would hear a story of your grace, of your redemptive grace, God, that extends to every dark corner of our heart and every dark corner of our lives. Gracious God, we are thankful that you have plunged your hands into the filth of our lives and have pulled us up when we were helpless to get ourselves out of the situations that we are in. God, give these men courage to face whatever battles they have in front of them. Give them courage, Lord, to make the choices that they have to make, the difficult choices that come next. And guide them, Lord, in a light of life. In Jesus' name, amen.